As Christian people, I just want to encourage our hearts this morning and to remind our hearts, if we're those who claim to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no such thing as chance or luck for the Christian. We must believe that all things under the hand of a sovereign God work for good. It's easy to claim that verse, Romans 8:28. It trips off the lips quite simply and easily, doesn't it? All things work together for good, and you pat a brother on the back or try to encourage a sister who's going through a time of affliction. And sometimes it's not wise to be too flippant about Scripture. It's true, it's God's word, but you need to be sensitive to that which that brother or sister may be passing through. And there are times in our lives, if we're honest, I'm sure, as Christian people, when something comes into our lives, may not be pleasant at the time, and perhaps there is a big question mark in our hearts. And we know Christian people who, when such times come, they say, "Why me? Why me? What is God doing for me, instead of God's glory?" And we find this coming out so clearly in our reading this morning, where the Apostle Paul is in prison, and he's writing to the believers at Philippi, and he says these wonderful words, "But I would that you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me, the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." Isn't that wonderful? It's a high view of that which we may be passing through, which if we're not careful, Satan can make us introspective, thinking about me all the time. Why me? Where's my heavenly Father? I thought he was the covenant-keeping God. I thought he was the faithful God. I've sought to follow him and love him for years. Why me? Why me? Why has this happened now? Where is God? Where is God? The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Romans, he could say, "We glory in tribulations." That's an amazing statement, isn't it? Glory in tribulations. So often we grumble, grouse, complain, perhaps even charge God foolishly. What a challenge, beloved. We glory in tribulations. Whatever you're passing through now, whatever the future may hold, we glory in tribulations. I don't know if I ever shared with you, but some of you will remember that, of that Strange Ways riot. I don't want to go back all those years, but the Reverend Noel Proctor, who was the chaplain there for so many years, who I got to know, he said that one of the things that hurt him the most after that experience were hundreds of letters that he received from all over the world, good meaning Christian people, who in their letter would say something like this: "Dear Noel, all things work together for good to those that love God." And it really wrenched his heart apart, because he'd been so faithfully sowing the seed in that prison for years and seen great blessing, and he couldn't tie the two things together, as he saw it all in ashes, as it were, the whole building gone. And you say to me, all things work together for good? Where is God in this? Some of us may not have had dramatic experiences like Noel Proctor, but I believe there may be one or more here this morning, and this will be a special word for perhaps you, and you'll thank God for it. And you'll be able to say, "I would that you should understand, brothers and sisters, that the things which happened unto me," nothing happens by chance. We believe, I trust, all of us who claim to be believers, sovereign God reigns. He rules over the world. That's why we sung, "God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. I love those words, judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Because behind a frowning providence, he hides, remember, a smiling face. His purposes, I don't understand, but his purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. We glory in tribulations, the things which happened unto me. I came across these words, and again I thank God for them, because they just came to me this week. We do not murmur at God's appointment, nor are we cast down or discouraged in consequence. We are enabled by grace to regard these things as the means of the truest blessing and of real spiritual progress. Isn't that wonderful? To be able to look upon that experience you don't understand. You may be grousing and complaining deep in your heart. No one else knows about that in the fellowship, but God knows. But God is going to use that experience, the things which happen to you, for your glory. And as the apostle says here, it's so wonderful, isn't it? So wonderful. The things which happened unto me have fallen out, rather, unto the furtherance of the gospel. That's tremendous, isn't it? Don't you get excited at that? A little leap, a little jump. Paul was so excited. In prison. Shackled. Perhaps his back had been beaten. Bruised, blood flowing. The things which happened to me have fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. Only we could look upon our trials like that. And in the midst of those trials and afflictions and mysteries, and things you don't understand, things I don't understand, that come to us as Christian people. Lord, what is the purpose? Lord, if it means for the furtherance of the gospel, oh God, thank you. That's wonderful. If it means for the furtherance of the gospel, that one of my neighbors, my friends, my colleagues, contacts may be saved, oh God, it's wonderful. A perfect plan revealed. That's our first lesson. A perfect plan. That's what Paul is saying in verse 12. This imprisonment had actually been sent to allow him to suffer for the glory of God. It meant, as it were, a new impetus for the spreading of the gospel. My affliction, my trial, my imprisonment, my pain, my suffering, for the progress of the gospel. A perfect plan is revealed to the apostle there in prison. Dr. Hendrickson says, Paul's primary question was not, what is going to happen to me, but rather, how is the gospel cause affected by whatever happens to me? Remember that. Let me read it again. Paul's primary question was not, what is going to happen to me, but rather, how is the gospel cause affected by whatever happens to me? The apostle Paul had a jealous regard for the gospel. And though he was suffering, and though he was in prison at the moment, he had this wider view, this greater view, for the glory of God. Now, we're not locked up in a prison cell, but you may be going through some time of affliction, some trial, some difficulty, some burden. And in the midst of all that, you cry out, Lord, why? Why? Where are you? Where are you? And suddenly the light shines, and suddenly you're made to understand that God can use that for his own glory. And the extension of the kingdom. when the apostle went to Rome as a prisoner, it was in the reality that the gospel went to Rome, and it would spread from his cell to the blessing of others. I love those words in Jeremiah 29 verse 10, "For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord." And that comes through, doesn't it, so wonderfully. If you're open to the Lord, if you're prepared, whatever happens, "I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord." A perfect plan revealed. So let's just apply that in a simple way. Let's remind our heart that God sees the whole sweep of our lives. Remember that. God sees the whole sweep. We're just concerned about the present moment, the present affliction, the present pain, the present loss. But God sees the whole sweep of our lives from eternity to eternity. Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful book written. Just forgotten the author, I should know. From eternity to eternity. Remember that. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. The beginning and the end. Our God is not limited by time or circumstances or accidents or the unknown. The things which happen to me under the hand of a sovereign God, they are allowed because the Father loves me with an everlasting love. And through it all, I must be given the grace to be able to say, God is working his purposes out as year succeeds to year. So this perfect plan that Paul shares revealed to him the things which happened to me in this prison cell have worked out for the glory and extension of the kingdom. So we need to remember, beloved, that God sees the whole sweep of our lives from eternity to eternity. Secondly, God works in his own way and in his own time for his children. Make a note of that. God works in his own way and in his own time. We're limited. We try to work out things and reason and purpose and so on. But God works in his own way. God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. And in his own time. And you have so many illustrations of this in Scripture. Remember Joseph in the pit. Job, deprived of his own children. Jeremiah, you remember, cast into a muddy cistern, pit, yet could yet cry out, "Great is thy faithfulness." Christ, crucified, yet gaining victory over sin, and saving a great multitude which no man can number. God works in his own way, his own time. And all these illustrations, and many more in Scripture, at the precise moment, they could not understand so often the reason, the things which happened to me in the pit, in the mire, in the chains, through the fire, through the flood. God is in sovereign control over all that which we face. I love the words of Isaac Watts. "Supreme as in wisdom, as in power, the rock of ages stands. Through him thou canst not see nor trace the working of his hands." But believe him, trust him. Completely, without question, and seek through it all how God's kingdom and God's glory can be extended. Thirdly, God seeks to free us from all anxiety regarding his plans for our life. I'm trying to be practical here in these examples. I try to take my place with a believer who is struggling in some severe trial. And Satan will do all that he can to cause you to criticize, query the purposes of God. Remember, beloved, God seeks to free us from all anxiety regarding his plans for our lives. Matthew 6:25. Therefore I say unto you, take no anxious thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink. Why do you take anxious thoughts for raiment? Come to your senses, believer. Remember this, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. Remember that he is silently planning for you in love. Is there anyone here over anxious? And it's almost killing you. I had a phone call the other day from a veteran home where I work in Gloucester. One of the veterans there was desperate. Would I go over and see him? And I got over to see him. Spent half an hour with him. His soul is being torn apart. He said, I need to see you. Anxiety. Anxiety. He's not a Christian. God seeks to free us as his children from all anxiety regarding his plans for our lives. Isn't it wonderful to rest like a little child in the arms of a heavenly Father? Why these anxious thoughts? Your heavenly Father knoweth, hallelujah, he knoweth what you need at that precise time, and he knows all about the future, all about the future. A perfect plan revealed the things which happen to me, not haphazardly, all part of God's sovereign plan. But we see secondly in the life of the apostle here, as he writes these words, that he has a peaceful heart. He is experiencing a peaceful heart. The things which happen to me, so that my bonds in Christ or for Christ are manifold, manifest. His bonds were no longer irksome and painful, but rather they had become his vehicle, the receptacle, if you like, for a peaceful heart. The chains, the bleeding back, the whipping, all these things cause him to have a peaceful heart. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? Amazing thing. The extension of the kingdom through the changing of the guard. What do I mean? Well, he tells us here, the news spread from this prison cell into the palace, and the guard would change regularly from Paul's cell. A new guard would come, and they must have begun to whisper and to say, we've never seen a prisoner like this before. And the news must have spread through the guard room, through the messes, officers' messes, corporals' messes, whatever they had in those days. We've never had a prisoner like this before. A peaceful heart through it all. His peace was founded upon the fact that he, Paul, counted it a privilege to be an ambassador for Christ, even in the prison cell. He could say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. Friend, if you were to be martyred for your faith by the middle of this afternoon, would you be at peace? Would I be at peace? It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Have you ever read the story of some of the martyrs of the old periods? Fox's Book of Martyrs would do us all good. So easy for us to complain and grumble. John Bradford and John Leaf, 1555. Bradford, turning his head toward John Leaf, said, "Be of good comfort, brother, for we shall have a morning supper with the Lord this night." They're wonderful. They're just about to lose their lives for the sake of Christ. But they have a peaceful heart. They look forward to that great meal with the Heavenly Father. Be of good cheer. Ridley and Latimer, both martyred, you remember, in Oxford, 1555. Latimer's immortal words to Ridley: "Be of good comfort, Master Ridley. Play the man. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England as I trust shall never be put out." And they're soon to lose their lives. You say, "Well, this is all very depressing on this lovely, beautiful morning. I want to get out of here pretty quickly." Friend, I think it's very comforting. I do. I think very wonderful, very challenging. Very challenging for those of us who murmur and complain rather easily. The things which happened. Be of good cheer. We're about to lose our lives, but we're going to be with the Father. We're going to the great marriage supper of the Lamb. Paul's peace was rooted upon the fact that the cause of Christ was expanding. He says so. In all the Paris and in all other places. Let your imagination loose for a moment. What are those other places? I don't know. But all he's saying is the cause of Christ is growing, growing. Souls are being blessed. Souls are going to be saved. Because of my imprisonment, the thing which has happened to me is falling out to the good furtherance of the gospel. You can imagine the guard saying, "We're guarding a truly remarkable prisoner. We are firmly convinced that this imprisonment of this prisoner is not for any crime that he's done, but simply because of his love for his Saviour." And that's what we want the world to be able to say. We may not be locked up in prison, but the unbelievers and those that live around us may be able to see Christ in all that we do. In the times of trouble that we pass through, may be used as a witness. A perfect plan revealed. A peaceful heart experienced. And lastly, a praising anthem raised. There are three strings, as it were, to this musical instrument of the Apostle Paul. In this praising anthem, verse 14, "Many of the brethren in the Lord, for the wonder of the fact that a church had ever been formed in Rome." A church was being brought together of Jews and Gentiles, one in Christ. And the Apostle Paul, as it was, striking that first note in the anthem. My bonds, my chains, they're being used for the glory of God. Many, he says, have a fresh confidence. They're waxing confident by my bonds. Others are being blessed. Others are being blessed by my chains. All things are working together for good. I can see it now, and I want to give him all the praise. Many of them have been fearful, anxious, timid, to be known as Christians. But now they have a new courage, which they never had before. Now, as we soon will leave Witten Chapel, by God's help and grace, we shall be able to say, we're not ashamed. We're not ashamed of the gospel. Many, the second string of this bow, many have a fresh boldness. He says so. They are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So through your suffering, through your trial, through your affliction, you can be such a wonderful witness to the Lord Jesus Christ that others will become, as it were, affected. A good infection, if you like, spreading through the fellowship. Other weaker believers, more timid believers, are now being made more bold through my sufferings. And lastly, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice. Party spirits laid aside, all jealousy removed, my only joy and concern, Christ is preached in all his fullness, in all his faithfulness, in all his saving grace, in all his glory. We too should thus be able to rejoice when we hear of the extension and the growth of the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it may all have begun from the things which happened to me. God's glory. John 3:29, John the Baptist. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, and I must decrease. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation. For I am well assured, and indeed know, through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul ends by saying, I have, as it were, a powerhouse which enables me to make such statements as we've been thinking about this morning. What is that powerhouse? Through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. A double portion. We rather squirm if I was to say a double blessing. But it is, isn't it? It is, isn't it? It is. Ever you're passing through, ask the Lord to make it a double blessing. A double blessing. Both are needed. And when we receive these two things, by God's help, and we stress that, by God's help, we are enabled to say, it is well. It is well. It is well with my soul. So may God write these lessons upon our hearts. I know not, dear friend, what you're passing through at the moment, but I feel in my heart that there may be one or more here for whom this message may just have been the right word. Certainly helped me this week in a quite remarkable way. The things which happen, however deep, however painful, however difficult, however easy it is to misunderstand, God in it all. Oh Lord, teach us. Teach us. Teach me. Teach me. That by your grace I may be able to say the things which happened to me, not haphazardly. I don't believe in luck. I don't believe in chance as a Christian brother or sister. The things which happened to me have fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. Hallelujah. That's all I want to know. but others are being blessed even through that which you and I may be passing through, to God's glory. Amen. Shall we pray? Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou take from us all stress, all strain, all guilt, all murmuring, all discontent. O Lord our God, you read our hearts. You know us through and through. But we pray that from this morning onwards, by Thy help, we may be able to look upon our earthly pilgrimage as Thy children, in that spirit of rejoicing. And bless any dear soul here this morning who is passing through periods of darkness. May they be brought into the light and see Thy purposes being fulfilled, and the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ being enlarged through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Number 732. O safe to the rock that is higher than I, my soul in its conflicts and sorrows would fly, so sinful, so weary, thine would I be. Thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee, I'm hiding in thee. So may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and for evermore. Amen.